Thank you, Lord. We love others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We're going to begin there this morning. We love because He first loved us. He really, really loves us. So much so, He gave His only Son for us. And I want to tell you, now there's somebody that needs to hear this morning. He loves you just like you are. You don't have to get good enough. You don't have to try harder. You don't have to change for God to love you. He already does. Now, He wants you to change because He wants you to grow into all that you can be. But He loves you just like you are. First and foremost, we have to know that. We have to know that He first loved us. Now, in 1 John 4:19 there, it says, we love because He first loved us. In the King James Version and also the New King James, they add the word Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And I say that they add the word because in the original language, there is no word there. The translators felt like that word should be there. But I want you to understand that when He says, we love because He first loved us, it is not just talking about that we love God. We love God because He first loved us. But we also love everyone because He first loved us. And it is that truth, it is that power in our life that He first loved us that empowers us to be able to love others. And in fact, if you read it in the context of the next several verses, it just makes that so clear. You know, we are always looking for an easy out, and you know, this passage makes it very clear that we can't just love God. We got to love our brother. We got to love others as well. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now I'm telling you, when you know that you know that you know that He has loved you, it'll change your life forever. If you allow that love into your heart, it will change you. Romans 5:5, God has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, that is more than just pretty words. We need to think about the spiritual truth of what that verse says, that He has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Have you had the love of God poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit? Well, Romans 5:5 says that you have. Amen. And we need to allow that to be true in us. Amen. That He just poured it in, shed abroad the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That we're just overflowing with the love of God. See, He has poured it into us. That's how we can love, because He's poured His love into us by the Holy Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit. You see, we can love others because we have the Holy Spirit. We can love others because God lives in us. The one who is love lives in us. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Now, again, think about what it says. Love comes from God. You can't get this anywhere else in the world. It comes from God. He's the source of it. Love comes from God. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, you see, in this life, we all have all kinds of opposition and trouble and problems and conflicts with people and difficulties. But He says we've overcome them, because greater is He that's in you. Who is in you? God is. In the person of the Holy Spirit, God lives inside of us, and He is love. And you see, we can always try to find an out to justify, to blame, to excuse ourselves for not loving someone else. But there really is no excuse, because God has given us everything that we need to do it. And the one that is inside of us, God inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit, is greater than whatever the opposition and trouble and conflicts we have with people. We overcome. We can still love them, because that love of God is inside of us, because He first loved us. Now, I'm not telling you this morning that it's easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But I'm telling you that we can, that God has given us everything that we need to be able to love others. 1 John 4:12, we love one another. God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. When we love one another, God lives in us. That's an awesome thing. God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Jesus said that this was His commandment, that we love one another. In John 13:34-35, He put it this way, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this all men will know that you're My disciples, if you love one another. Then He tells us in the next chapter, in John 14, He says it several times in different ways, but He says in verse 15, if you love Me, you will obey what I command. And what did He command? That we love one another as He has loved us. Well, how can we do that? I mean, Jesus laid down His life for us. How can we love one another as He did? Because He lives inside of us. He first loved us, and He poured that love into our hearts. We're going to go back and read that, 1 John 4:19-21 again. We love because He first loved us. You see, this is the key. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. If we love God, what did Jesus say? If we love Him, we will obey His command. We just read it in John 14:15. If we love Him, Jesus says, we will obey His command. And what is His command? He told us in John 13:34, love one another. And I'm telling you, we can't say that we love God and refuse to love our brother, because if we love God, we'll obey His command and we will love our brother. Now, I was taught growing up not to call anybody a liar. Sometimes people are just wrong. They're mistaken. And maybe they are a liar, but I was taught not to call them a liar. But let me tell you, if the Word of God says that somebody's a liar, they're a liar. And the Word of God does have the right to say so. And the Word of God says that if somebody says, I love God, and yet won't love their brother, they're a liar. Now, there's a lot of people in this world that are kidding themselves. They have deceived themselves. They are lying to themselves because they actually think they love God even though they hate their brother. When we love others, it shows that we are real. Jesus said, John 13:35, that it's by this love that others will know that we're His disciples. That's what sets us apart. And you see, without that love, without the love of God, then we are just religious Pharisees. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. You want more God in your life? You want to have a greater experience in your walk with the Lord? Here's the key. Live in love. Because the one who lives in love lives in God, and God in him. God is love. You see, you can't separate Christianity from love. You can't separate God from love. God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Church, we need to experience this on a greater measure than we have. And I'm telling you this morning, to be real honest, I hadn't gotten this. I'm getting it. I'm growing, and I'm working on it. And I have a desire inside of me. I want to love like he loves. I want just what Jesus said. Listen, he said, love one another as I have loved you. That's what we're called to. We hadn't arrived yet, church. But I'm telling you, we will have a greater impact on this world as we learn to love like he loves. Without it, our religion is worthless. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 1, tells us you can speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if you don't have love, you're just a bunch of noise. Listen, you can hand out tracts and preach at people and talk to them all you want to, but if you don't do it in love, it's not going to be received. It's going to be fruitless. There's a lot of people, a lot of believers that go around quoting Scripture. Listen, the Scripture's wonderful. It's powerful. It can be life-changing. But there are some people that just go around quoting Scripture and spouting spiritual jargon to people, and none of it's received, and they think that they've done something good because they're going around talking to people and preaching to people. But listen, if it's not done with love, it's just a bunch of racket. You know, we think pretty highly of this stuff, the gift of prophecy, and fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. If I have faith that can move mountains. But you can have all of these great spiritual gifts, he says, but if you have not love, I'm nothing. It's worthless. You can even sell your possessions and give it to the poor and sacrifice your body. But he says, if you have not love, it's still worthless. So let's make this real this morning. Let's look to the Scripture for practical answers. I want to tell you, we don't need to listen to Oprah. We don't need to listen to some psychologist. We need to look to the Word of God and see what the Bible says about love. See what the Bible says about how to love others. So who are we to love? Well, we've already read that we must love our brother and that we must love one another. And that's a tough place to start. Some of us can't even get past that because sometimes it's hard to love even those that are part of the body of Christ with us. Sure is quiet in here. We can usually find an out. We can find a way to justify and to make excuse. I've even heard people on occasion excuse themselves from loving someone as a brother or one another because, well, that person's not really born again. And they judge that person and say, well, I don't have to love them as a brother or one another because they're not really a child of God. Pretty dangerous territory. Then he tells us to love our neighbor. My neighbor, was that the ones that are on each side of me, or does that include the ones that live across the street too? Again, most of us, even that would be a beginning. Even that would be a challenge. I barely know my neighbors. I don't even know their names. One of the experts of the law came to Jesus. And Jesus put it back on him, and he answered correctly that to love the Lord your God was the greatest command, and to love your neighbor as yourself was the second. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. And the man wanting to justify himself, you see, this justifying game has been going on a long time. And so wanting to justify himself, he says to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Well, it's in Luke chapter 10, verse 29. verse 30, Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes and beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. The priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, and he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. And here we have the religious people, the priests, the Levite, those that you would expect to reach out and love and show the mercy and the compassion of God to others, but they passed by on the other side. And along comes, now Jesus did this very intentionally, he used this story. Along comes a Samaritan that the Jews despised, but this Samaritan took pity on this man and cared enough to take care of him and paid with his own money for this man to be taken care of. So who is my neighbor? My neighbor is not just the person that lives next door to me. My neighbor is every person whose paths I cross today. You see, when that Samaritan came down the road and he crossed the path of this man in need, that was his neighbor. And your neighbor is every person whose path you will cross today and tomorrow. A lot of the time, we're more concerned about appearing to be religious than we are with loving people. If you want to appear to be religious, that makes us a Pharisee, for they do things because they love to be seen in the eyes of men. But when we love people, we're acting like our Heavenly Father. We're to love those that we come in contact with in everyday life. Those are our neighbors. You know, it's really easy to say, oh, I love everybody. I love everybody. We all know that's the right thing to say, right? That's the right answer. Do you love people? Oh, yeah, I love everybody. I love everybody in the big general sense. The whole world, I love everybody. The problem with that is that a lot of the time, that's where it ends. It's just something we say, and we don't practically live it out. We don't love people in action, and that word for love is not just a noun, it's also a verb. And we need to, as 1 John 3:18 says, we're not supposed to love with just word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's something that we live out. It has to be a reality in our life. And so we can't just love everybody. We got to love our neighbor. And who's our neighbor? It's that person whose path you cross today. Then he says, Luke 6:27, that we are to love our enemies. You see, there's just no getting around this love thing with him. You got to love all of them. You got to love your brothers, your one another's. You got to love your neighbors, the people whose paths you cross, and you got to love even your enemies. We're to love those that don't deserve it. Those that mistreat us. We are to love those that are hateful. We are to love those that are unlovable. He did. How can we do that? Listen, God doesn't love us because of anything we've done or because we deserve it. Somebody say amen. All right. We got that settled. He loves us because of who he is. It's who he is. It's what he is, that God is love. He doesn't love us because what we've done or because we deserve it. He loves us because that's who he is. And we need to get this morning. We don't love other people because of who they are or what they've done or because they deserve it. We love other people because of who we are and who's in us, because we are his child. We are a partaker of his divine nature. The greater one lives inside of us. He has shed abroad the love of God in our heart. Listen, the fruit of the Spirit, the first part of the fruit of the Spirit is love. The first evidence that you have God in your life, the first proof that the Spirit of God is in you, is that you love other people. We don't love them because they deserve it. We love them because of who we are, that we are the sons and daughters of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. That's who we are. That's why we love. So who are we to love? Everybody. Oh, but that everybody doesn't need to be in some intangible way. No, we need to make it real in our life, that we love those that are around us. We love those whose paths we cross. We even love our enemies. What is this love? I think it's really important. I think this is where we miss it a lot of the time, is we just don't really even understand what biblical love is about. And again, we can't listen to the world. You know, part of the problem here is that we are so saturated and inundated with all of this influence from the world and the philosophy, the teaching, the attitudes of the world about love, that when it comes to biblical love, a lot of times we just don't really understand what it's about. Now, you know, there's several Greek words in the original text that are all translated as love. And in the English language, we just use the one word love for a lot of different meanings. And I think that's where some of the confusion comes from. But I want you to hear, when we're talking about the love of God, and we're talking about that love of God inside of us to love other people, we're not talking about what the world calls love. In fact, most people think of love as just really, really, really strong like. It's like you like this, then you really like it, then you really, really like it, and then you love it. It's just really, really, really strong like. Boy likes a girl, then he really likes her, he really, really likes her, and then he loves her. No, that's not love. It's not just really, really, really strong like. That's just really, really strong like. Love and like are not the same thing. Biblical love is something totally different. See, I don't just like lobster and prime rib and coffee ice cream. I love them. Now, you know what I'm talking about, because we all understand that, and we use that term, and because, you know, we want to say, I really, really, really like it, and so we say, I love it. But I want you to understand, when it comes to the love of God, you are never going to really, 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 really like the person who hates you and mistreats you and does bad things to you and has hurt your family. You're never going to really, really, really like that. And yet you're called to love them. So what is this love? When we talk about loving others, we need to understand it is a love that is selfless and sacrificial. It is giving of yourself to benefit somebody else. That's what Jesus did. And if you want to know what this love is really about, the Bible defines it for us in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to begin reading from verse 7. The the definition is given to us very plainly in verses 9 and 10. But listen, from verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." You see, again, it doesn't come from the world, it comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, you might say, "Oh, but I know a good person and they're not born again. And they love people." Listen, they might do some good things. And they might care about other people, but to truly love people with the love of God, listen, everybody who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now here's the definition. This is love. This is what love is. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. You see, that's how the Bible defines love to us. It is that God gave his only Son to pay the ultimate price for us. And when we talk about loving people, it is a selfless, sacrificial, giving kind of love. It is not born just out of some emotional feeling. It is not a fondness or affinity for somebody. See, we like those who are like us. We like those who we have things in common with. We like those who we have endured life with, our family and our friends and sometimes fellow church members. But we love even our enemies. It is a selfless, giving, action kind of love. We don't love just in words or tongue, but actions and truth. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be difficult. There are times when it's going to cost us and we're going to have to give of ourselves to really love somebody, especially an enemy. The Bible tells us in Romans 5 and 8 that this is how God showed his love, that he demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But you know, there's a way that we can demonstrate our love for God and show our love for him, and it's by loving one another. How do we do it? We talked about who we're supposed to love, and we talked about what that love is. Well, how do we do it? How do we make it practical in everyday life? What are the things that we should do? It's so cheesy just to say you love people but not act on it. So what do we do? What actions should we take? We're going to go to Luke chapter 27. Excuse me, Luke, there is no 27. Luke 6, verse 27. And we'll begin there. Luke 6, verse 27. This is where Jesus is talking about loving your enemies. He says, "I tell you who hear me, love your enemies." And before we go any further, let me just say, you know, a lot of times we pull one little phrase or verse out. We like to separate things and dissect things all the time in Scripture. But we need to understand that when Jesus taught this, this teaching was really all about how to love your enemy. And as he goes on down through here, there are practical ways that we are to carry out loving our enemies. And each of these phrases or sentences are instruction for the believer in how to treat people. He's telling us how to love people, how to practically love people. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. You ever had somebody hate you? Do good. Well, that's tough. That takes love. That takes the love of God being poured out in your heart. That takes the Holy Spirit inside of you, empowering you to love somebody that does not deserve it. somebody hates you, Jesus says, do good to them. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the Greek, it means do good to them. Y'all saw that coming, didn't you? Come on. It's as simple as that. Do something good to them. Remember back when I pastored in Medill, Oklahoma, one of my board members was nice to me and he went on vacation. I went over and mowed his yard. It was a lot harder to do later when he was mean to me. You do good to those who hate you. See, we need to make this real. This needs to be something we're living in our life every day. Bless those who curse you. I have a really hard time with that one. And when the Bible says, bless those who curse you, it's not talking about those that have cussed you out. It's not talking about profanity. It's talking about that with your mouth and the way you treat people, but it's talking about with your mouth that you say good things to, you say good things about people, even when they revile you and speak ill of you and speak harshly to you, that you use that soft answer that turns away wrath and you bless them by the words of your mouth. And I especially have a hard time with this one when, you know, now this happens to all of us, but you know, in ministry, sometimes it's just like you got a big target on you, you know? I mean, the devil wants to attack those that are in leadership and in ministry because he knows that he can mess up other people. And, you know, one of the things that happens often is that somebody will be gossiping or saying something about a minister and his family or his family, and it's so hard to keep your mouth shut and not retaliate. But you know, what the Lord asks of us is not that we keep our mouth shut, but that we bless them, that we say good things about them. James chapter 3. Verse 8. No man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, in the King James, the New King James, it says, therewith bless we God and curse we men. But I just want you to see that the scripture says very plainly, we can't bless God, praise God, and then be cursing men. We can't come in and say, oh Lord, you're so wonderful, and then go out and get in the car and start talking bad about people. You can't have fresh water and bitter from the same spring. Now, the NIV uses the word salt water. Now, what happens if you take a glass of fresh water and a glass of salt water and you mix them together? It's all salt water. And if you're going to trash people out and you're gossiping and you're involved in that kind of conversation, and you use your mouth to attack other people, whether it's in their presence or behind their back, then your praise doesn't mean a whole lot. You can't love God whom you have not seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen. No, we are to bless and not curse. Back to Luke chapter 6. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. When somebody insults you, that's what it's talking about, a strike on the cheek. It's an insult. If somebody insults you, you're not to retaliate. You allow them to continue. Somebody insults you, you turn the other cheek. I heard one guy say, well, you turn the other cheek, and then if they hit that one, then you let them have it. Oh, how our flesh likes to write new scripture. But it's just not there. No, the principle is that we don't retaliate to an insult. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. That's mine. You better leave it alone. Don't touch my stuff. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Now you see, he's continuing the same teaching. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them. Without expecting anything back. Here's a way you can practically love your enemy. You do good to them. You bless them. You give to them. Lend to them, expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High. Because he is kind to the grateful and good. That's not what it says. No, he is kind. That's what we do. Well, I would be kind to them if they would appreciate it. Well, they just don't even appreciate what I've done for them. Well, they don't deserve it. No, he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. That's how loving God is. That he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And we are sons and daughters of our Father when we are merciful, kind to those that don't deserve it. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You see, if you're going to love people, you're going to have to treat them beyond better than what they deserve. That's what mercy is. Mercy is that God does not give us what we deserve. Because what we deserve is punishment and judgment. But he doesn't give us what we deserve because he is merciful. Psalms 103 tells us that he is merciful. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. And you see, if we're going to love other people, we don't treat them as their sins deserve, but we are merciful to them. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And in James chapter 2, he says that he shall have judgment without mercy, who has showed no mercy. You see, we have to show mercy to others. And this is the way that you love other people in a practical way. You don't treat them. You don't repay them what they deserve. But you love them in spite of what they deserve. Verse 37, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Now we know that God is the judge and he's the only one that truly has the right to judge. There's one judge and lawgiver. It's not us. It's God. And so it's not our place. He is the only one who is sinless. All the rest of us are guilty. We can't cast a stone. But if you're going to love people, you can't judge. You can't condemn. He says, forgive. And you will be forgiven. Now we talked about this two Wednesday nights ago that we ask the Lord, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus says here, forgive and you will be forgiven. Listen, you can't love your enemies if you don't forgive them. You've got to release them from the wrongs that they have committed against you. If you're going to do good to those that hate you, you can't be holding a grudge. No, you got to forgive. And we're going to come back to this and finish this up, but I just want to skip over to Romans chapter 12 for a moment. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. Listen to this. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Now listen, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, he tells us very plainly that if our enemy has a need, we're to meet it. You want to love your enemies? Here's how. You find out what their need is, and you meet that need. Sure, it's quiet in here this morning, but I'm telling you, this is real Christianity. This is the real deal. And when we do this, I'll tell you, we'll have an impact on our family, and our community, on our world. It's not just talk. It's not just religion. This is the real thing, that God, who is love, has poured his love into our hearts so that we could love others. He first loved us so we could love others. And I'm telling you, when we really love like this and bless and do good, meet the needs of even our enemies, God will change hearts. Do not be overcome by evil. See, evil happens. Evil is all around us. And there are evil people, and people do evil things and hurtful things and wrong us. But he says, don't be overcome by that. When you're overcome by that, what does that mean? That means that you do like they do. But overcome evil with good. Sometimes it seems like that for myself, and I think a lot of Christians, when we are wronged and people are hateful and people mistreat us, we just want to withdraw and do nothing to that person. But I'm telling you, that's not good enough, because Jesus says, do good to them. He doesn't say do nothing. He says do good to them. Meet their need. When he's hungry, feed him. Now, I don't know about you, I don't cross the paths of too many enemies that are hungry, as in they've been without food. But you know, maybe we ought to take our enemy to dinner. Real quiet in here again. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Maybe God would tear down those walls. Maybe God could heal some relationships. Maybe God could change somebody's life. If we were crazy enough to do that. Love our enemies. Overcome evil with good. Now back to Luke chapter 6. I want to finish this up. Luke chapter 6. He says, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I really believe that all of this is in the context of loving your enemies. He talks about it 3 or 4 times down through here, love your enemies. And church, if we want to love our enemies, we need to be willing to give. We need to be willing to bless them. We need to be willing to go out of our way to meet their need. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He says that we're to live a life of love just as Christ loved us. And how did he do that? He gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Seems impossible. But he has given us the Holy Spirit to pour that love into us, to give us the ability. And there's the key. You see, you can't do it on your own. And I just realized, y'all didn't correct me. Y'all let me get past one of the most important ones in Luke chapter 6. Didn't nobody catch it? Well, I was We're going to back up because we got to get this. Pray for those who mistreat you. This is how you love your enemy. You pray for them. When they mistreat you, you pray for them. You won't like it at first. But you pray for them. In fact, you can't really love your enemy if you don't pray for them. You can't do any of this if you don't pray, because where does love come from? Love comes from God, and love is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, and so we have to be praying if we're going to be able to love people. But when you're mistreated, what is the correct response? That you pray for them. And, oh God, get them doesn't count. No, you got to pray for them that God will bless them, that God will work things out in their life. Now, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, God, show them that where they're wrong, when you do it with the right heart. Because that's the best thing in the world. If somebody's doing wrong, is for them to get right. But we need to do it with the right heart. We need to pray for them. All of this we can't do on our own. It takes the love of God. It takes the Spirit of God. It's God's power in us. And so when we say, oh, I can't do that, we just need to yield to the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit, allow Jesus in us to do it through us and love even our enemies. One last verse of Scripture this morning, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. May the Lord make your love increase. Here's a prayer from the Apostle Paul. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And that's what we need, individually and as a church, that the love of God would overflow in our lives. We need an increase. An increase in our love, that it would overflow in our lives. That everywhere we go, we're trying to love people and looking for the opportunity. Like that Samaritan, we're not looking for a way to get out of loving somebody. We're not looking for a way to get past without having to help somebody else. But we're looking. See, that Samaritan went down the right side of the road and he helped that man. He wasn't looking for a way out. He was looking to help somebody. And church, we need to have that mindset and mentality that because he first loved me, we love others. Amen? That we want to reach out with the love of God. And here's a truth that we need to know and understand. Most people in this world are never going to know that God loves them. They're never really going to understand how much God loves them unless we show them. Unless we're the ones that tell them and show them, they're never going to get it. By this will all men know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another.